when y'all get to your seats, don't sit down. And the Lord would say to you too, I am going to increase your anointing this year. As you press into me for more of me, I've got more to pour out to you. You may think you have reached your peak, but I've just begun to do a work in you, saith God. Woo! I don't know what kind of night's going to be, but I'm ready for it. Glory to God. Well, I thought I was done with worship, but apparently I'm not. So we're back on worship again. Glory to God. The title of this message today is Waging War Against Your Emotions Through Worship. What inspired this message was somebody asked me about spending time on spiritual warfare. And many people don't realize spiritual warfare and what the church has always preached that it was. Tonight we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Amen. It's a whole other realm of spiritual warfare. See, there's a time to bind and time to loose, but you got to know the difference between the two. Amen? It's just not you going out there and just binding everything you can because it doesn't seem to be working your way. But let's get into this thing because I don't want to lose too much of my time. This is an important time. This is an important season because God is calling everyone closer and closer to Him. Now hear that. He's calling you closer and closer to His presence in this season. Not just this holiday season. Get off of that. I'm talking about a season in your life. Now get this. He is directing us to step into a place of trusting Him where we have to put down what we think is right. Put down what we think is right. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end there is in destruction. Put down what we think is right and pick up what He says is right. Oh, we're just scratching the surface here now. That's just the introduction part. He's got another place He's calling you to. He's saying He wants you to come to the place where you let go of your sense of comfort and security for His leadership and direction. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out there where He is. One more thing. He wants you to lay aside your best intentions in order to receive His perfect plan. Lay your intentions aside and start receiving His perfect plan. It's a vital time of maturity for all of us. To cross this line is going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything that you are in the flesh. But you will gain through obedience everything that He is in you. There's a lot to gain in this. As you begin to put down your old way of thinking, as you begin to put down your old way of living your spiritual life, He's got a better way. And the thing is, you have a lot to gain, a whole lot to gain. Natural emotions will tend to stop us from trusting and believing and following God to this new place of intimacy. Natural emotions. The emotions that you got from Adam. Many of you have not put those emotions to death yet. They're still running loose in your life. Those emotions, He's saying, they stop you from trusting and believing Him, from following Him to this new place of intimacy. The emotions you got from Adam, the emotions that were groomed by the world, those are the emotions. The emotions that says, I'm not going to make it. The emotion that says, I'm going to fail. The emotion that says, I can't do it. The emotion that says, well, I didn't get that. God didn't give that to me. You got to get rid of those emotions. You got to get rid of that stuff. That's what the world is using to hold you back. He's looking for a new place of intimacy from all of us. It is a war in our emotions that stands between us and the next level, the fellowship with the Father. A war of emotions. That's where you'll find the war is. That's why you got to go to a place you've never been before, so you can begin to do things you never done before. You got to go to a new place in Him. You got to go to a place in Him where your emotions die, and you're just out there with Him, and He's got your back. Amen? Amen. Listen to what Joshua said in to the people that were, to the Israelites that were going to cross over the River Jordan, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 29. This is what He's saying to you tonight. This is what He's saying to the church tonight. He's saying, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Only be strong and of good courage." There's too much fear in the church. Too much fear. Fear of failure. Fear of not getting your needs met. Fear of not being taken care of. There's just too much fear. And that fear is what's holding you back. You don't realize it, but it's that fear. And as you begin to have intimacy with God, your fear will tell you you can't spend that kind of time with God. Your fear will tell you you can't spend that much time with God. There's no way you can spend that much time with God, but you can. It's once you get past those emotions, you'll see you can spend that time with God. You truly can. The reason why our worship time went a little long today is because I didn't get a chance to worship Him this morning like I normally do. And so the devil said, "Well, you can't worship Him now." I said, "Bet me. Amen. You want to see me worship Him? I'll worship Him all this afternoon. You want me to, God?" And I got in that place, I couldn't stop. Finally, I just got to pull the plug and say, "Somebody get up and start doing something, because I'll be here all day long."
Praise the Lord.
To possess their inheritance, the children of Israel had to do more than just cross the River Jordan. They had to face and conquer the giants that were in the land of promise. Just like the Israelites, we too have crossed over into our season of offensive warfare. You are in a season of offensive warfare. You're no longer letting the devil bring the game to you. You're taking it to him, man. It's that time. And the thing is, it's not by might. It's not by your strength. It's not by your natural power, but it's by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. That's how you bring it to Him every day. And the thing is, it's so easy. You're going to do it through worship. Amen. That's warfare. Amen. The moment that you begin to say, "God, I'm going to worship you, and I don't care if the hair lifts the devil, I'm going to spend time giving you praise." When you can continue to worship God, when everything in you says, "You don't, God's not listening. This is not going anywhere. This is not doing you any good." When you fight through that, you've just broken into another realm that most Christians never break into. Never break into. There are a lot of ministers that haven't broken into that level, that area. It's a place called the secret place. It's a place reserved for those that spend time and love on Him. It's a place where they get out of their emotions and they go beyond that and they go into the realm of the Spirit, where the forces of joy, the forces of love, the forces of peace, that's where they reside and where they begin to dictate terms to the devil. You see, God is all sufficient. He is the breasty one. He will take care of your needs, but you're going to have to get out of your emotions. That's where the warfare is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the warfare. It's not about you binding the devil every day. It's about you overcoming your emotions in that arena called worship. Please note this. To engage in this kind of fellowship and contending for the Lord's revival makes us a threat to the devil. Oh, that makes me happy. I am so glad I'm a threat to the devil's kingdom. Praise God. Now, understand this. There is no such thing as a demilitarized war zone in the realm of the Spirit while you're here on the earth. There's no such thing. Many of Christians are in a war and don't know it. Therefore, they're called prisoners of war. "Well, I don't understand, Pastor. I've been trying to live the Christian life." You're a prisoner of war, and you don't even know it. The gates of hell has blocked all the has has cornered off all the blessings of God for you, and you are allowing the devil just to keep those things from you through your emotions. Well, I'm coming now. Oh, it's going to get better and better here in a minute. This is why the devil is increasing his pressures against us as we diligently seek the Lord. This is why many of you will be opposed to this. The enemy is going to come. I'm going to read you a prophecy here that Dave Roberson gave to his group or to his church about 2 years ago. And it's so apropos today. But the devil is increasing his pressures against us as we diligently seek the Lord. Why? Our flesh is fighting our spirit, man, to regain control in our lives. See, when I feel my flesh trying to tell me what I can and can't do, what I cannot accomplish, bet me. I know where to take him. Take him straight to the throne. Father, I come to give you praise. Just come to worship you. Come to magnify you. I come to worship you. Thank you for the day that you bore all of my sin, sicknesses, and diseases on the cross. You know, this is the time again what y'all call, I won't say y'all, but the world calls flu season. And if you go to your doctor, the first thing they ask you, you got a flu shot? Now, I haven't been to a doctor in a while, but the first thing they ask me is, Brother Craig, have you had a flu shot this season? I said, I took one this morning. They said, when you take one this morning? How'd you take it this morning? I said, 1 Peter 2:24. And they go, 1 Peter 2:24. I said, yeah. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pain. See, you think I'm kidding, but that's very real. That's how I talk to my nurses. That's how I talk to my doctor. They know I'm a believer, man. They know. Amen. That's how I am. Amen. Man, my doctor got so mad at me before, man, he was like, you could die. I said, to be absent in the body is to be present in the Lord. Gosh, he didn't like that. See, he thought he was scaring me. But he, man, he was just firing me up.
Amen.
So the devil's going to be, he's going to continue to increase his pressures against us. As you diligently press in to seek him, your flesh is going to fight your spirit, man, to regain control. And while every stronghold being torn down in your soul feels like a sentence of death, you will survive. You'll think, my goodness, what's going on in me? Something's dying in you. And it's a good thing. I say it's a good thing. But don't be dismayed. Our Father is not afraid of any war. In fact, he's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. Think about this for a moment. The Father has placed the neck of every one of your enemies under your foot. Now, here's the thing. Are you going to walk it out? I'm getting ahead of myself, but Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemning, there is no condemnation. You read past that and don't know what that means. That means there's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. Poverty, lack, sickness, disease, whatever it is, it cannot be carried out against you. Now, if you're born again, now you can allow it to happen to you, but when you get to heaven and you stand in front of Jesus, he's going to say, why didn't you walk in what I died for? Why didn't you walk in it? See, all of us one day, we're going to stand before him. You can't get out of it. You will stand before him. I don't care if you're a believer or not a believer. You're going to stand before him. Every knee will bow. Not every Christian knee. Every knee will bow. Every knee. You know, I always tell people, I said, man, when we cross over to the other side, we all become instantaneous believers. We all believe, it was true. This means that there's absolutely nothing that can stop you from following his plan for your life and enjoying a deeper relationship with you. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 18. These are some, you ought to meditate this. You ought to focus on this and act like it's true. And Jesus said unto them, his disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold. When you see the word behold, he's saying something that's powerful here. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and underline the word, all the power of the enemy. Man, here's my confession. I thank you for the day you gave me power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And that's how I worship him. I thank you, Father. I have power over all the power of the enemy. Why, you just bragging? No, I'm not. I'm declaring who I am. I'm telling my soulless realm, my emotional realm, I have power. I have power I've never tapped into, because I've let some common walking Christians tell me what I could and could not do. Well, you won't tell me that anymore, because I've been talking to him and him alone, and he's told me what I can do. And when I see verses like this, I understand what the word all mean. What does all mean in the Greek, folks? Oh. All power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Now, is that what Luke says? If you go back and read that in your Bible, the one that you told around, that's in red. That's in red. I've never seen one thing that Jesus said that did not come to pass. So now when you come to me and say, Pastor, the devil just beating up on me, I'm going to wheel around and go over to Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. And why are you letting the devil beat up on you? Why are you letting him clock you like that when all power has been given unto you? You know what you're saying when you tell me that? Pastor, this week, I just laid down and let the devil just walk all over me because I just didn't feel like getting up and fighting my emotions. I didn't feel like giving God some praise. I didn't feel like telling my emotions to shut up. I just allowed the devil to walk all over me, and I allowed him to do it. That's what you're telling me.
Amen.
You just didn't resist him.
Exactly.
Because it says that all power has been given unto me. It says that, said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
All the power of the enemy. I said over all the power of the enemy. All of the power.
Amen.
Not some of it, all of it. The church has got to learn what all is. All is everything and includes it all. He's given you. Everybody say, he's given me. He's given me. He's given me. All power. Did he make a mistake? He's not a man that he can lie. He's exalted his own name above, his own word above his name. He cannot lie. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. So you have all power.
Amen.
When Pastor, I don't believe I'm walking in it, you just laid down and allowed the devil just to walk all over you.
Right.
Now, don't get mad at me. And hiss at me when you walk out the room at night. Just go to the mirror and say, you. You the problem. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now. What does the word now mean? It means right. Every time you say, somebody say now.
Now,
now say now again.
Now.
Well, that now is updated the previous now. Every time you say now, it updates itself. Now means now. Not the last now. Now means now. So right now is now. So now, you get, there's now no condemnation. Now. No. Now. Now there is therefore no condemnation. Now how many of you are in Christ Jesus? What that verse is saying is there's no condemning sentences that can be carried out against you. None.
Amen.
Condemning sentences. Romans chapter 6:6 says, sin has no dominion over me. There's nothing. There's no condemning sentence. Poverty, lack, sickness, disease, anger, emotion, anxiety, depression. None of it can be carried out against me.
Amen.
Well, man, I've been suffering with anxiety and depression for a long time. Well, somebody's lying. Either you or the man that wrote that. I say the man that wrote that ain't lying. There's no condemnation. There's no condemning sentence. We'll pass our unemployed. Don't become unemployment. Amen. Well, Pastor, I got sickness in my body. Don't become sickness and disease. Amen. Why? Because there's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. No condemning sentence. No condemning sentence. Well, Pastor, I'm African American. I don't care if you black as a street out there. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. I'm sorry. So African-American man, the white man ain't holding you down. There's no condemning sentences. The white people, as of this moment, you're off the hook. Because you can't hold us down. There's no condemning sentence can hold us back. None. I'm just preaching the word tonight. I've been talking to him this whole week. I am fighting. Woo, I'm dumping a whole load out to tonight. There's no condemning sentences. Not none. Well, Pastor, I've had this for a long time. You've allowed the devil to enforce a condemning sentence against you. Get in your prayer closet. Get in your worship closet until he begins to show you here's where you're missing it. And then change. You see that knee right there? He tried to tell me, you got to have an operation. I said, no. I thank you for the day. You bore the pain in my knee in your own body on the tree. Well, Sunday it was hurting. Woke up Monday morning, it was hurting. Guess what I kept saying? There's no condemning sentence can be carried out against me. Went to work Monday, and I went, that thing ain't hurt no more. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen. If you're saying, well, I got arthritis, there's no condemning sentence can be carried out against you. None. There's no condemnation. That's what that verse is saying. Why? Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death. Now, you can walk in sin and death if you want to. Okay? That's your choice. But don't come tell me about how the devil's beating you up, because I can't have sympathy for you anymore. Not when he says that. It's time for folks to grow up in the body of Christ and be who God says they are. Why? It's your emotions that's running you ragged. You wake up in the morning, I'm wondering what the devil going to do. No. Devil, I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming after you.
Amen.
I'm coming right after you. Amen. Whatever is in my body don't belong, I'm coming after today. Amen. Whatever is in my bank account and it ain't sufficient enough, I'm coming after today.
Amen.
He became poor that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I'm coming after my wealth. I'm coming after my riches. God ain't holding it back. You foul spirit.
Amen.
You're holding it back.
Amen.
Pastor, does that really mean that? There you go. See, we talk ourselves out of the blessings of God. Let's go on. Jesus never backed down from the enemy because he knew that he knew the devil's plans. He knew that his own flesh, even his own soul, absolutely had no dominion over him. This is how we are to live in the world today. We rule and reign with his authority and stand in his place of victory. In Romans, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2:14, praise be unto God, who always causes us to what?
Triumph.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Do you triumph when everything's going good? Question is triumph when everything's going good. Now, I guess in a sense you're triumphing, but my point is if you don't ever have any challenges, question of triumph. That verse is designed to say, listen, no matter what you're going through right now, Don't forget about Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. You may be going through something, but you're just going through it. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. He didn't come to make camp in that valley. He said, I'm going through the thing. I'm not coming to stay. I ain't pitching a tent. I ain't going to be here long. This ain't my dwelling place. I'm walking through. Amen. Yeah, you may have tests and trials. Yeah, you may be going through a financial situation right now, but it ain't going to last all long. No, it cannot, because that condemning sentence cannot be carried out against you. This is spiritual warfare. This is the spiritual warfare. When that thought comes up and says, listen, you're going to be poor the rest of your life, you got to go, I said no, and get into the presence of the Father until that thought begins to be exchanged. See, the thing is tonight, we want to talk to you about how exchange your weakness for his strength. How to exchange your positional standing for his standing. And how do you do that? In private worship. That's how you do that. The church has been running around giving formulas, holding seminars. Tonight you get it for free. All you got to do is just learn to spend time with God. Spend time with Jesus. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you appreciate what he did for you. Just begin to love on him one-on-one. And initially, your emotions are going to come all against you. Your emotions are going to come out and say, well, I don't want to do this. I want to go cook. I want to go mow the lawn. I want to go wash clothes. I want to wash the car. I want to plant the closet. I want to go do something I don't want to do normally. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to worship God. That's your emotions. Yeah. I'll give you a little hint. Mine does the same thing. And I tell it one thing. Shut up. I'm going to worship him. Amen. Whew. This year, the Lord's giving us the same instructions he gave his disciples in Joshua's day. He told them to be strong and be of good courage. Now is the time for us to tell our circumstances, our flesh, our emotions, that they do not affect our obedience to our God. Tell your emotions, I'm not going to obey you. Tell your flesh, I'm not going to obey you anymore. We can trust our Father in the fight. He'll never leave us or abandon us. In January 8, 2014, this prophetic word came forth in the prayer center. There's been a spirit, and the thing is, it doesn't mean that it just happened. It means that the body of Christ just recognized it. Roberson just heard this in his heart and went, oh, this is what I'm fighting against. There's been a spirit assigned to the body of Christ to discourage them, to make it hard even to muster up enough strength to believe that they are an overcomer. And when you feel that depression, when you feel that anxiety, when you feel that it's that feeling that makes it, that seems to be hard to muster up enough strength to keep on pressing in, that is the spirit that is trying to lie to us. See, when I go to God and worship, he's telling me, you don't have time to worship. You're not going to spend here 2 hours. You're not going to spend another 45 minutes. You're not going to spend an hour worshiping God. I'm not going to let you. But when I break through that thing, when I press through that thing, oh, man, now I'm giving the Holy Spirit exactly what he needs. Amen. Now listen to what the rest of the prophecy is. The Lord did not say this spirit assigned to discourage us would come one time and then leave us alone forever. No, the enemy knows that we are in an important time of transformation, a season of selling out to God. In the surrendering of the process of mortification so we can walk as mature sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Satan is afraid of what will happen when we cross the line of total trust and obedience to our Father so he can use external pressures, people, and our own desires. So you got to be careful who you hang around. Mm-hmm. See, there are what I call good, faring Christians that'll go, you ain't got to pray in tongues that much. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to worship. You're worshiping too much. Mm-hmm. You know why they're saying that? Because they ain't spending no time in worship. Exactly. They don't want to put their flesh down. Exactly. They want to collar their flesh And they want you to join their misery.
Exactly.
So that whenever they get miserable and don't get the things that God's promised them, that you can just kind of, you know, be in the same camp that they're in. I refuse to fellowship with you like that. I'm not going to fellowship with you anymore like that. I'm not going to do it any longer. I don't care who it distanced me from.
Amen. Go ahead now, boy.
It don't matter. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Yes.
You don't have to be my friend. That's okay.
Amen.
I can seem weird to you.
Woo-hoo.
But I'm going to tell you this. Sickness and disease won't come now my dwelling.
Amen.
I'm not going to take a flu shot. I had a guy this week I was discipling. He says, now, I just had the flu. I said, I ain't worried about no flu. He said, well, I don't want to get too close to you. Man, you can get all over me. Kiss me. Spit on me. Dude, lick on my face. I don't care. It ain't coming nigh my dwelling.
Amen.
See, now my emotions wanted to go, I better stay back about 2 or 3 feet. No! I've been talking to him. I've been spending time with him. And he said, listen, you've exchanged your weakness for my strength. You've exchanged something here. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Rest in me.
Yes.
And I went, I'm not going to worry about it. Now, when I left the meeting, hear what my mind said. Just tell you the truth. You know what I did? I just said, no. Emotions, you're not going to take control over me. I'm healed. I'm walking in divine health. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way you have to talk to your emotions.
Amen.
You got to quit letting them tell you how you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You got to quit telling them how cows eat cabbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, them telling you how cows eat cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Now, in response to that, this is what Dave heard in the spirit. He says, Father, we receive your strength. You are our strength. And yes, we can do what you ask us to do. That thing in front of us, that direction in front of each one of us that you have given us specifically, yes, we can do that.
Amen.
Because you are our strength.
Amen.
That's what I've been saying lately. God, I can do it. I've exchanged my weaknesses for your strength.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, it says this. It says, Paul said he prayed to Jesus 3 times to remove this messenger of Satan. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Mm-hmm.
For when you are at your weakest, my strength is made perfect in you. And then Paul turns right around and he says, therefore will I glory in my infirmities. So whenever I get you, whenever you talk about me and you make me feel bad, or you exclude me from your little circle, and I don't get acknowledgement as I think I should, I just slip off into my heavenly Father. And I said, now I'm exchanging my weakness for your strength. I'm exchanging my embarrassment for your peace. Glory to God. I exchange something. I'm exchanging my sickness for your disease-free body. I'm making an exchange here. That's what happens when you give God worship. That's spiritual warfare.
Amen.
You got a loved one, and they're out there doing the funky chicken, the worm, whatever they do these days, and you're worried about them, and you stay up all night long. You walk the floor and you're concerned about them. What you ought to do is get in your closet and you ought to say, Father, I give you praise. You said that not only me, but my whole household could be saved. So I give you praise. Father, first of all, I bind the emotions in me. I bind the devil coming against them. Father, I loose ministering angels right now to guard them and keep them from any kind of harm and danger. And Father, I declare they're going to get born again and they're going to speak in tongues before they leave the earth. And then go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says, cast the whole of your care over on him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if you have a hard time with that, say, God, I'm coming to you so I can learn how to resist the devil. I'm exchanging my, inviting him in my life to resisting him. Begin to show me, exchange that in my life. Make that exchange in me. And ladies and gentlemen, it is just that simple. Amen. Nothing hard about this. We preachers have made it difficult. Mm-hmm. We try to make it complicated, but it is not. Amen. If you'll just simply do what the book says.
Amen.
If you'll just simply spend time giving God praise and exchanging your weaknesses for his strength.
Ooh.
Exchanging your poverty for his riches. Exchanging your emotions that the world gave you for the forces that God has given you in your new nature.
Amen.
And when you begin to walk by those forces, there ain't no devil that can stop you.
Amen.
When I said this on Saturday, but or I said it before, but God gave Dave Roberson a vision about what worship does. And what worship is like is whenever you throw a rock into a big body of water and you see those ripples that begin to flow out. Well, this is how it starts. When you begin to worship the Father, first, he begins to fill your spirit. Now get this, with a tangible awareness of his presence.
Wow.
Boy, I've been sensing some of that lately.
Yeah.
So Pastor Craig, this came a little weight, ain't it? Yeah. He ain't dressing sharp. Don't dress like a pastor anymore. And I get when all that, I don't get upset with you. I can go to a throne of grace and mercy. And I can begin to exchange all of that and bring you there with me, drop you off, and say, God, now take care of them. No. Not harm you, but to bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Because you're on the wrong track.
Amen.
You're in cahoots with the enemy.
Yes.
And see, you're trying to get me to get in cahoots with the enemy. I'm not going there. I'm not stopping the power of God in my life. No, ma'am.
Amen.
No, sir. I'm not going to do it. I understand the wiles and the strategies of the enemy.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Now, here's what happened next. As you begin to push, as you begin to spend more time, what happens is the next ripple begins to affect your soul and your physical senses. And you become baptized in his presence. That's when you walk around a little drunk. What's wrong with you, Pastor? You been drinking that wine? No, I've been in that room, man. You get a little wobbly. That's his presence in you. It's his presence in you. When you spend an hour or 2 hours longer with him, I promise you, you'll come out. Because that's him saturating.
Amen.
And baptizing.
Yes.
Your soulless realm with his presence.
Amen.
Now, get the third level. When you continue to worship him, even though you got all this other stuff going on, eventually he'll begin to baptize himself not only with his presence, but his presence will begin to flow out of you.
Wow.
And saturate the geographical location.
Wow.
That you live.
Amen.
And work in.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine coming out of that prayer closet one day and somebody's bowed over there in a wheelchair, whatever, and boy, they all bowed over, and then you walk by them, you said, "Whoo! Oh, man, I just want to have some balance here." And you put your hand on them, and then you hear this snap, crack, pop. And all of a sudden, their body becomes whole.
Hallelujah.
We're coming to that day.
Amen.
We're coming into that day.
Amen.
If people will learn how to do spiritual warfare through worship, we'll come to that day.
Yes.
Worship is the process by which his presence flows out from our spirit to his soul, out from God's presence to our soul, to our physical surroundings, just like ripples spreading in a pond. Now, let me give you an example of a guy that did this. A guy named Smith Wigglesworth, a 19th century evangelist, flows in this same presence.
Yeah.
It is well documented that Smith walked in close fellowship with God. His spirit, soul, and the very atmosphere around him were continuously filled with God's presence. So much so that people couldn't walk past him without sensing Jesus. Many people would break down, repent, and receive salvation right there on the spot. Not because he shared the gospel, but because his life of Christ began to pour out of him.
Yeah.
We're headed there.
Amen.
I said we're headed there.
Amen.
That's where we're headed.
Glory.
We're going there.
Amen.
And all you have to do is just spend time with him.
Amen.
In private worship.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. I love you. I worship you. I magnify your name. I give you praise. And pour yourself into every statement of adoration, every statement of praise, and all of a sudden, his presence will begin to affect you. His presence will begin to overwhelm your senses, and all of a sudden, you'll go to the prisons, and you'll lay hands on a cancer patient, and instantly, cancer will leave.
Yes.
There was an article recently about a guy named Todd White in Israel. And he began to allow the power of God to flow out of him and those miracles. Folks, we need 100,000 more Todd Whites. Okay? Now, when I say that, I don't want you to be a Todd White. I want you to be who you are. But I want that power of God to flow out of you. There's nothing special about Todd White. There's nothing special about anybody else. But now we'll put a Todd White up on a panel and go, oh, man, look at that brother. I'm not hating on a brother, but I'm saying this. You quit hating on yourself.
Amen.
And you start saying, I'm going to walk in that kind of power as well. All I got to do is spend time with God.
Amen.
Turn off my television. TiVo. Turn all that stuff off and begin to give God some praise. First 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour. Man, I pray this year you get up to an hour giving God praise and worship. I promise you, when I get to that door, it'll just fly open on its own accord.
Praise God.
Amen. Do you remember, I wanted to bring this out in the intercession message, but do you remember when Peter was in prison and they were in there worshiping God and giving God praise? And then the angel came in there and just slapped Peter upside the face. Well, the reason why he slapped him, he told him, he said, wake up, man. And he wouldn't wake up. He said, man, I said, wake up. So he said, pop, get up. The Bible said those angels led them out of that prison.
Yeah.
And every door just opened on its own accord.
Wow.
What were they doing before that happened? Giving God praise. I'm telling you, praise and worship is all in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. The thing is this. God has equipped you. Jesus gave a glimpse of it in John chapter 4, verse 23. He says, now is that time when the true worshipers. I say, God, I thank you that now is the time. You've made me a true worshiper, that I can worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I thank you. You've been looking for me to come and give you praise. Man, I walk in that throne room, he says, where you been?
Yeah.
Been waiting on you.
Amen.
Come on in here, have a seat, son. And let's do some exchanging. I go, yes, sir. I got this to give and that to give and this old thing to give and that thing to give. He says, give it all to me. And then this morning, when I was praising him, I saw myself taking that stuff out of me and I put it on the altar of God. And as soon as I dropped on the altar of God, it went,
wow.
It just disintegrated. He don't want that trash. He's just trying to get me to get rid of it. Amen. He's trying to get you to get rid of your trash. He is. He wants you to get rid of it. But you can't get rid of it because you pack a big Bible. You can't get rid of it because you have a Christian screensaver. You can't get rid of it because you have a Christian ringtone. You can't get rid of it because you carry the biggest Bible in the church. You got to get rid of it when you have intimate time and fellowship with him. That's all you got to do.
Amen.
Just spend time with him. I just can't imagine why we haven't had more messages on worship. We have messages on workshops on how to worship God from the choir. We have all kinds, 3 5-day workshops, but we never have a workshop. We never, that's what our next immersion rally is, going to be on worship. Glory to God. That's what he's telling me now. That's how I want you to do it. Well, bless God. I'll do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But that was Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah. And Smith Wigglesworth, it was not a special person, or did he have a special calling? The truth is, our Father is longing to fellowship for, longing for our fellowship, for each one of us to share with him our heart, how much we love him, and what he means to us. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is the time, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such." He seeketh such. When you reach out to God in worship, we begin to exchange our love for his. See, you give him your phileo love. You give him that old human kind of love. And then he goes, "Now let me pour that agape love in you." If one day you're going to realize, see, when you give God praise, it's not so you can see how much that you can share your love with him. He's trying to magnify and show you how much love there is for you.
Amen.
He's trying to reveal to you how much heaven loves you. He's trying to reveal to you how much the Father loves you.
Yeah.
And the way you get rid of all that stuff when you come before him, you got to take that stuff off. You got to get rid of it. And there's an exchange in that throne room. He takes it from you and he leaves you with his love. And you begin to appreciate that love.
Amen.
So much so.
Yeah.
You get on Facebook and they done talked about you like a dog. And you get on there and say, "Bless all y'all. Love all y'all. Peace to all y'all. Blessings on all y'all. Hallelujah to all y'all." Instead of you sitting down and crafting up some note to talk back and kind of get your point of view in there sideways. No. Let me tell you something, church. Quit defending yourself. You ain't got to defend yourself. Let me ask you a question. How many times did Jesus defend himself?
Not a word.
In fact, they couldn't get him to talk.
That's right.
He said, one guy said, "I hear you a king." He said, "That's because you say so. If you say I'm a king, I'm a king. I ain't said a word." Quit defending yourself. Let God defend you.
Amen.
Let God defend you. I'm going to wind up here in a minute. If I took my time, we'd be here all night long, so don't say that. When you begin to worship God, you'll step over in the realm of the Spirit into a place of intimacy that allows the Father to show you who he is and who you are in him. This is the place of refuge. It's a place of authority. It's where authority flows. As God's children, we can learn to enter and abide in this place.
Yeah.
You can live there. But there are obstacles that you must conquer first. The moment you begin to praise and worship, hindrances will appear on two different sides. On one side, the devil will set up camp and try to lead you away from the times of worship with lies and unbelief. He'll attack your mind with emotions and thoughts like, "You're just wasting your time. You think God's going to give you something just because you're worshiping him?" And he'll say, "There's absolutely nothing going to happen." That's what you'll hear. He'll tell you that, listen, God ain't listening to you. He'll even arrange circumstances and people in your life to keep you so busy and stretched out, you don't want to spend time with God. I've had to tell some people, you need to cut them loose in your life.
Amen.
They are not good for you.
Yeah.
Then just about the time you take authority over the devil and run him off in Jesus' name, then your soul pops up on the other side. And then you'll start to feel like it takes all effort to remain faithful to your times of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You have to drag your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, kicking and screaming into the presence of God. I've done that many times.
Mm.
I'm going in here anyway. You watch me. Tonight was one of those times.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to spend time with God this morning, so you didn't miss the whole day. I said, I'll start giving him praise right now. Do I ever start praising God about 10 or 15 after?
Yeah.
Not hardly. Not here. I usually start after about a half hour.
Exactly.
And I said, then he said, they going to think something's wrong that you done started worshiping God so soon. I don't care.
Amen.
That's spiritual warfare.
Amen. Amen.
You don't let your emotions tell you what to do.
Amen.
You don't let your unrenewed mind talk you out of worshiping God. You want to worship God, you worship God. Sometimes those of us that are filled with the Spirit, we'll walk through the hallway going, Bruna Christe, Ele Marona Christa. And people look at us like, what's wrong with them? Don't bother me at all, partner. I ain't separated by your look. Don't give a rip.
Amen.
Don't care.
Amen.
In fact, I wear it as a crown. Now, I don't get invited to the Christmas parties. I don't get the Christmas cards. Everybody else, I don't get all the stuff they get. But I don't care. I got him.
Amen. Yes, sir. I know what you're talking about.
The big party.
When everything in the natural provides an unclear case proving that you have more important things to do, when your soul gives up 101 reasons or arguments to do something else, it seems like every devil in hell has been sent to create an uninspiring atmosphere around you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got to expect when you go into worship.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are not going to let you just go in there and worship God and walk through and say, okay, go right ahead, you get a pass. No.
Mm-hmm.
They understand the power of it.
Yeah.
This is why they have basically blocked it out of the church up until now. And God sent a fast-talking black preacher to open up, to take the wraps off of it. We're going to worship God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship God. I don't care whether anybody goes with me or not. I'm going to worship God. Not just in the sanctuary. I'm going to worship in my bedroom. I'm going to worship in that white truck of mine. I'm going to give him praise. I done found me a place. And I spend time with him. And I enjoy spending time with him. Why? Because now I can put up with the world.
Amen.
The world used to irritate me. Now it doesn't irritate me anymore. When you begin to fellowship with God like that, you'll cross over a line where there's nothing, where nothing has the power to make you quit. You're on your way of walking into the manifested truths of who you've been fellowshipping with. Your Father is all about that spiritual warfare.
Amen.
You got to get sold out with this thing. You got to quit saying, God, I can't go all that. You got to go all in. You got to throw it all in. You got to be all in with it. And you're not going to get in there with your emotions just coming against you. Your emotions are going to tell you, it's going to give you every reason in the book why you cannot do this. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Now is the time, more than any other time that we lived in, is the time that we must utilize the key that we have been taught. We've got to spend time. We're on the pathway of victory, and grace will challenge. The path of victory and grace will challenge us, or will give us, will enable us to meet every challenge in every bit of circumstances that we have. It is a path that requires us to heed his instructions to do four things. Meditate much, pray much, fast much, and worship much. That's why I ask you this year, start setting aside those times. You're going to spend time worshiping God. You're going to set aside these times. Simply adding this key won't stop your trials from coming against you. But here's what will happen. The joy of being in close fellowship with God will become your strength.
Amen.
During those initial times of worship, the devil and your soul are fighting you the most. That's because you're moving into a realms of intimacy with the Lord. Just don't quit. Don't quit.
Amen.
Well, you're not doing it right. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't sound like Miss So-and-so. Shut up.
Amen.
He'll correct me.
Amen.
He'll correct me. He'll give me style points. Just if I get in there and do my best I can, he'll give me style points.
Amen.
And then he'll say, now come here. Now I want to correct you.
Mm-hmm.
See. You may also come across times in your worship where you feel as dry as a desert sand, and it seems as though God's presence is nowhere to be found. But don't stop worshiping Him.
Amen.
This is spiritual warfare. Amen. There are times when your spirit is getting built up past whatever it is in your soul that doesn't like being in His presence. Mm. Do you know there's something in you that just doesn't want to be in His presence naturally? Mm-hmm. You got to get rid of that thing.
Amen.
Well, I don't have nothing in me. I'm pure. I've been washed in blood. Yeah, but you got a thing called an unrenewed mind that God didn't fix when you got washed in the blood. I done heard all these excuses. Well, if God washed me in the blood, I ain't gonna do but just enjoy it. No, you gotta renew your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You've got to renew your mind. You gotta present your body a living sacrifice. You gotta do that. I can't do it for Vivian and she can't do it for me. You got to do it yourself.
Amen.
You got to drag it, old thing, going, sacrifice, come on.
Amen.
We're going to the throne of grace and mercy. And your flesh is going, no, 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 come on. Because I'm fitting to put you down today. In other words, my old way of living is not going to control me.
Amen.
I'm not going to believe God for a while and then give up because I think, well, He must not have heard me. Or He didn't want me to. I'm tired of hearing those things. Well, maybe God says yes, and maybe He says no. Maybe He says not now. You ain't never heard Jesus preach anything like that. Never. He said all the promises of God are what?
Yes.
And amen. So we need to find out why we're not getting the yes. If you're just breaking into worship, don't permit your time with God to become merely lip service. See, anybody can record, I worship you, I magnify you, I praise you, and just start playing that. That ain't what He wants you to be. You want to pour yourself into every statement of adoration and every statement of praise. Now, here's what I do. Because I kind of talk loud, as you can tell, as you've noticed. I just listen to what my mouth's saying. And when I listen to what my mouth's saying, it reminds me who I'm talking to. That's why I just listen to what my mouth's saying. And here's what's so, to me, so marvelous about the whole thing. I would want to think, what am I going to say next? But somehow out of my spirit, it just comes up what to say.
Yeah. Amen.
And I just keep listening to that. And what I'm doing is I'm not just praying with the Spirit. I'm praying of the Spirit and in the Spirit.
Amen.
I'm worshiping God in the Spirit.
Amen.
Boy, that's some powerful praise.
Amen.
I'm moving mountains. And the biggest mountain I'm moving is the stuff inside of me.
There you go.
I'm moving the stuff inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that you helped put in me. That the devil used you to criticize me, and I did the same to you. We got to get past this. I'm better than they.
Amen.
No, you're not.
Amen.
None of us are better than anybody else. No Christian is better than anybody else.
Amen.
I'm a child of the King. I've been given an assignment, and I'm just going to do my assignment with all sweat and tears. I'm going to do the best I can, but I'm no better than you.
Amen.
Not at all. And whenever I start hearing that, well, they're just not like, so whoa, you're creating divisions in the body. There are no schisms in the body. None at all. Let me try to wrap up here real quick. Woo! But every time your mind begins to wander, just bring it back. Keep bringing it back. Keep bringing it back. Keep bringing it back. Keep bringing it back. And even my mind wanders even today. Sometimes a thought will come up, oh, you got to go do this. Well, I'll just stop. Write that down and get right back to worshiping God. Yeah. Because, see, your mind is built that way. Your mind is built to tell you, hey, take your medication. Hey, go do this. Go do that. Your mind reminds you to do these things. That's not the devil. That's just how God built you. Well, don't get upset about that. Just write it down. God ain't left. Listen, if God can't have me write something down and He's like, you see, you interrupted our thought. And He leaves. That ain't God.
Amen.
He's much bigger than that.
Amen.
See, I used to hear people say now, and I get what they're saying. They would say, well, if you clap, the anointing will lift.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. There are times to clap and times not to clap. I get that. But listen, if God flies away because of a clap, there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with him. Now, there are sovereign times when you want to be still and know he's God. Amen. There are times that are like that. When you want, in my worship time, sometimes I'll go, there's time for me to shut up, isn't it? Amen. And he'll go, yeah, just listen. And I'll just listen to him. Amen. I'll just listen. Why? It's a sovereign moment.
Amen.
He wants you to be still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But God is not moved because you don't get it perfect every time. Mm-hmm. That's not who he is.
Yeah.
I've seen so many Christians go, well, Pastor, I don't do it the way you do it. And who told you I got the market on it? I don't have a copyright on private worship. I just do it my way.
Amen.
I just do it my way. And you know how I learn? Here's how I learn. Holy Spirit, it is your job to teach me how to worship him.
Amen.
It's your job. Now, I didn't say it in arrogance, but I said it with sincerity and dedication. Help me learn. Teach me how to worship him. And he did. And I was just like you. I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it sincerely enough. But boy, I began to get results, and I went, that's that worship that I'm doing. God takes pleasure in your times of fellowship with him. He is not concerned with how well you dress up your statements of love. He only cares about how much you mean what you're saying. You'll learn to abide in a whole new level of intimacy with your Father. And one day, you'll wonder in amazement, how could I have ever worried about the problems and concerns that I have? How could I have not known the truth about who you are? You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my strength. Boy, that's how I say it now. I thank you. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my strength. I guarantee you that nothing in your life will remain the same. God's presence will begin to flow out of you everywhere you go, saturating people with his love and changing atmospheres with faith. Make your decision tonight that you're going to draw closer to your Heavenly Father. Worship him. Worship him until your emotions change.
Amen.
That's spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Glory to God. I done preached myself happy. I don't know about you. Is there anybody here that needs God to touch them tonight?